News is, in fact, not a qualified journalism organization. The court agreed that the Rebel, quote, did not follow journalistic processes and principles, and that it took a, quote, activist stance. Therefore, the Rebel will not be recognized as a qualified journalism organization and won't be able to benefit from the Trudeau government's sweet, sweet tax breaks and subsidies. Poor guys. That's our show for today. Thank you for inviting me into your ears. You can email me at justinling@protonmail.com. I swear to God, I'll read it. This episode is brought to you by Kathleen Nielsen, Broderick Lang, and Alexis Ovenden. Canada Labs workshops are starting this fall. We are excited to open our doors to host 3 events for journalists and audio makers. And maybe that's you. These workshops are designed to get emerging journalists and audio makers into a room with our team of journalists and editors, featured guests, and industry leaders, all to build crucial skills and a foundational network of colleagues and collaborators. Click the link in the show notes to find out more details about how to register. This episode is produced by James Nicholson, with additional production by Caleb Thompson, audio recording and engineering by Tristan Capicchioni. Our production manager is Max Collins. Our theme music is by So-Called. Syndication is by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca.
CFRC 101.9 FM has new social media. Find us on Instagram and Facebook at CFRC Music and keep up with the latest announcements about our programming and projects. Follow us today at CFRC Music.
Hey, I'm Julian Taylor, and I'm excited that my radio show, The Jukebox, can now be heard on CFRC 101.9 FM out of Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. The show is all-inclusive. I only play music that I love and think that you'll love too. So tune in every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Good evening, beautiful people worldwide. My name is Roy Hamilton III, and you're tuned in to Let That Music Out. Yes, Let That Music Out. You see, we all got a story. We all got a song. We all got a journey. And our job, before we leave this earth, is to let that music out. So tonight we got new music from Miss Morgan Ashley with 2 Minutes Away, music from AJ Manuel with Be With You, and Aura Dawn with Show Me Some Love. Stay tuned.
All I wanna do is to ride, go right up the street into your drive. Run right in your arms. And I want you to hold me until the world stops turning. Everything will be alright. Now we're so close, yet so far away. I need you to come here and lay with me.
Show me some love, please. Show me some love, baby. was going. I wasn't clear, I was too nervous to come closer to your hips. And why I was kissing in my head, your lips was touching you with fingertips. You ran away.
That was Show Me Some Love from Aura Dawn. All right, coming up, we're going to have a very special guest, Mr. Ryan Toby, joining us from Medellin, Colombia. He's going to talk about his music journey as a songwriter, as an artist, and give us his perspective on what it's like to let that music out. Here we go. All right, welcome to Let That Music Out. I'm super excited. I got a very, very, very special guest on today's show. For a couple of reasons. One, because I met this brother at the beginning of my career, and he was very early on in his career, although he was a little bit more advanced in his career, but we became instant friends and kindred spirits since then. And since then, as we kind of went our separate ways, I've watched this brother like do amazing things and grow. So without further ado, I want to introduce everyone to Mr. Ryan Toby. What's up, brother? Ooh, welcome to Let That Music Out.
It's likewise. Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you being here. So I know you're a busy man, so I'm going to get right into my questions because I know people are going to want to know some things. So I'm going to start off with, Ryan, how did you get started in music with your career?
Oh, man. 30 years ago. That's crazy to say that number out loud. So yeah, 30 years ago, I started very young, about 14, 15, I'd say. And I was just, you know, regular kid from a regular town, South Jersey, Willingboro, New Jersey, small town, about 20 minutes outside of Philadelphia, about an hour and a half south of New York City. And yeah, I was just growing up singing in church, nothing professional, no professional background. I didn't have like a stage mom or none of that. I was just a regular kid around the way that could sing a little bit and rap. I've been rapping and singing since I was, you know, 7, 8 years old. So had the gift early, but nothing serious popped off until about age 15. I started working with my first manager named Marvin Thompson, who was really just a family friend. He was a friend. He was my friend's father, a little young homie I had around the way. His dad, he was like, yo, man, you should let my dad hear you sing. He knows some people in New York. He can take you to New York and maybe get you a record deal, you know? So I just like sang for him at the barbershop. It was like real impromptu, nothing fancy. And me and Marvin started rocking, and he started taking me to studio sessions, started taking me to, you know, putting me in talent competitions, taking me to open mic nights, those type of things, taking me to the Apollo. I sang at the Apollo like 4 or 5 times. Wow. And so we were just moving and grooving. And then we were going to record labels. We were trying to get me a deal. I was singing at record labels. I was going to a bunch of little singing auditions for record labels. And then we met an A&R guy at RCA Records named Denny Ortiz, who discovered SWV. He discovered Pharrell and the Neptunes and many, many others. And so Kenny liked me. Kenny wanted to work with me. And he gave me like a demo deal budget of about like $4,500 just to go and like record some professional songs. Like
the demo deal. We love the demo deals.
So I was doing that. And while I was working with Kenny, between Marvin, Kenny, and another lady who was working with me named Bobby Humphrey, they heard about the auditions for Sister Act 2. Disney and Touchstone Films was looking for kids that could sing and dance to be a part of this ensemble cast in this choir for Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
And so that was the first audition I ever went on in my life, like the first real professional audition. I never had any acting background or nothing.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I went to the audition, did my thing, got a call back. That one callback led to about 7 more callbacks. And then the last one was in L.A. for the producers and everybody, director and everybody. And God bless me with the part. And so Sister Act 2 was my break into the industry on a like real professional level. So, you know, from singing, acting, and even from writing, because I got writing credit in the Joyful Joyful song. I wrote the rap part with it, like Joyful Joyful.
Lord,
I wrote that part. So I've been getting publishing checks since 1993.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's pretty much, that was the start. That was the genesis on a professional level.
Funny you brought up that, because oh, happy day. So you remember when you got the email from me about 7 or 8 months ago, like out of the blue, we just reconnected. I didn't even know we were going to be doing all this stuff now. But reason why is because Sister Act 2 came on and I'm just sitting on my couch at home, just laying back, watching Whoopi and watching just like, man, this was one of those movies from my childhood. And then you came on. I was like, yo, where the heck is Ryan at? I got to hit him up. So I like went searching, looking on Instagram, came across your joint. I was like, yo, let me just send him an email. Why not? He might reply. Yeah. So I'm headed to a showcase. I got your email back. I was like, man, my man's still doing his thing. So that for me was big, man. That was one of the first movies that used to give me the goosebumps when I watched it. Like when your part singing, when Lauryn Hill, like all of the talent that was in that movie. Jennifer Love Hewitt was in that.
Tanya Blount was in that.
Like so a lot of stars kind of blossomed out of that, right? Yeah. And that was one of the movies that used to give me the chills when I watch it. Yeah. So, man, that's big. Okay, cool. So what would you say? That was your start. What would you say? My next question is your big break, like the thing that really took you to that next level. Like, okay, now I'm officially a superstar in my own right.
Define superstar. What do you mean I'm a superstar?
Great question. I mean, a household name where you go out in public and people are like, I know who you are, or like, a person that, you know, a household name or someone that's easily recognizable when you go to get coffee and people are like, hey, I know you. Can I get your autograph? No matter what state you go to. That's what I would consider definition of a superstar.
I would have to say it was Sister Act 2, but not initially when the movie first debuted. When the movie first debuted, believe it or not, it was considered a box office flop because it paled in comparison to the numbers and the revenue that the first one did in the box office.
Gotcha.
But what happened was, over the years up in the 90s, we were then transitioning into movies, the home video and DVD sales and movies being played on TV, syndicated, coming on, you know, Lifetime Network every Christmas, coming on HBO every Thanksgiving, you know, coming on BET every Thanksgiving. Like when that started happening over the years, I'd say about 7 to 8 years, even 10 years, like throughout a 7, 8 year, 10 year span after the movie, people was watching it at home every year. It was coming on.
Yep.
And so right after I did the movie, I just went back to high school. There was no big hoopla. There was no parade. It was nothing. It was nothing. I was still just Ryan, big head Ryan, you know, class clown. So, But then, like, I graduated high school. I did the movie when I was 16, but then graduated high school, and I, you know, now I'm outside, you know what I'm saying? I'm going clubbing, I'm doing that. I'm like 22, 23, 21, 22, 23. And people are like, yo, don't I? Girls are like, you know what I'm saying? And so I'd have to say it was Sister Act was the break as far as making me recognizable in household. But like 5, 6, 7 years after the fact, it was crazy. It was crazy.
That's amazing. Yeah. When I met you, you were in a group called City High, and you guys came to play at Stockton State College. And my good friend and you know, one of my mentors, DJ Do It All, had me come out, and I actually introduced you guys on stage because I wanted to be an artist too at one point. So I took any chance I could to jump on stage. But at the moment when I met you guys were like, you had a couple of big hits. You had, What Would You Do?
And Caramel.
Caramel.
Yeah.
And I remember that. So like, what was that like being part of that group?
You know, so I had the Sister Act era and then moved into the City High era, which is a whole nother.
I've had like three careers.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With City High, that was great, man. It was me and two people from my hometown from Willingboro, Robbie Parlow and Claudette Ortiz. And we Wyclef kind of like put us together between Wyclef, Jean, his cousin, Jerry Wonder.
Shout out to Jerry.
Yeah, shout out to Jerry. They had a record label on Interscope called Booga Basement. And so they signed us, and between them and our management, we were all three solo artists. We were three solo artists. It was kind of like a making the band type situation. Mm-hmm. Take three solo artists, put them together, blow up the group. And then we were all supposed to have, you know, go solo.
Got it.
That was the plan. We put the group together. We started rocking, and we had some really, really great success. What Would You Do? It was like the number two selling single in the country. Was killing it, man. And then Caramel came out, that did really well, and we rocked out for a minute, you know what I mean? Until, you know, the group broke up, obviously, because we were three solo artists. Like, so it was like everybody still wanted to do their own thing. But yeah, for a while, early 2000s, we were jamming. We was touring like crazy. Mm-hmm. And we made history with that.
I love that, man. I love that moment.
All right, that was the first half of the interview with Ryan Toby. Stay tuned for the second half. In the meantime, we're going to get into some more music. We have Sarah Navaratnam with A Moment, Robbie Finnegan with Don't Want to Dance Alone, and Miles Marcus with Crazy. Stay tuned.
You know you could have told me that she was going to take away my pain and bring it back like that. Giving her my trust, she kept me safe from all the rage before I found her eyes. But in that very moment, she taught me all the ways to trust her, be blessed by the goddess of living disguise. And I felt so acknowledged. Ooh, ooh. And I was no longer a threat to them when she made me look just like her friends, and I didn't see it in this moment. As I reached the end, watched she cry when I ran out of luxuries. It's crazy how much power she had over me. But in the very moment, no, she took me to be blessed by the goddess of living disguise. And I felt so acknowledged. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And I had every beautiful girl on my
it a Sunday. I got lost on my way. I'm hoping that one day I'll overcome what's in my way. Cause I got down now, and it's getting in my way. I'm feeling down now. Why today? Now I'm dancing in the dark. I'm all alone. I'm not out ready to be dancing with someone. I'm dancing in the dark, I'm all alone. So come on, I need someone, please take my hand. Cause I don't wanna dance alone. The night started out real cold, but then the silence crashed in just like a flood. And I felt washed out, feeling so misunderstood. Feeling down now, why today? Now I'm dancing in the dark, I'm all alone. Cause I'd rather be dancing with someone. Hey, I'm dancing in the dark, I'm all alone. Please take my hand, cause I don't wanna dance alone.
Believe my love is
So man, this one is more so for the younger artist that's coming up that, you know, that probably face challenges and stuff. What would you say was, like, you know, one of your biggest challenges that you faced in your career, and how did you overcome it?
You know, the biggest challenge that I honestly still face to this day, to be honest, just to be fully transparent, doubting yourself.
You know, doubting.
Because, you know, the music industry is a roller coaster. You up, and then you down, and then you back up, and then you might be down, and
yeah.
You might be back up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And like, and just knowing how to navigate those waters when, you know, because when you're hot, and everybody's on you, and everybody calling your phone, everybody, you, everybody's your best friend, right?
Yeah.
But then if you go through maybe a cold spell, like everybody has.
Like we all do, yeah.
What artists you name, I don't care who they are. They don't stay sizzling hot forever.
No.
They may go through a time where they ain't got no hits, or the sound of the radio changed, or they can't keep up with the times, or whatever may happen, right? Somebody else comes out doing their style better than them, and they're younger and cuter and hotter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now the key to longevity, though, is knowing how to remember who you are, even when the world may be sleeping on you.
Wow.
That's the biggest challenge. Like, damn, am I still that dude? Do I still got it? Like, am I still nice with it? Damn, yeah. I might not have had no big number one hit in a minute, because the entertainment industry is a what have you done lately industry.
Absolutely.
What have you done lately? What you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What have you done lately?
Yeah.
And so sometimes that could get overwhelming. Sometimes that could get challenging, and it could just have you stuck. And have you feeling like, maybe I ain't it. No, maybe I ain't it. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I ain't got it no more. And all these other crazy thoughts that come to your head. But the way to overcome it, I would say, is through faith in yourself, man. You got to believe in yourself, and you got to know how to reinvent yourself.
That's right.
You got to know how to, like, flip the script. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, double back and come back with something new. And you got to constantly be in a state of evolution. Don't get stuck on what you did in the past.
Yes.
Do it. Do the music. Let it go and move on and go on, move on to the next thing. Don't try to keep holding on to the past and holding on to what you did. And don't let people pigeonhole you to the past and to what you did.
Yes.
Always be in a constant state of evolution. That's the way you overcome, you know, that roller coaster road of the entertainment industry.
What a great answer, man. What a masterful answer that was, man. And inspiring, too. I think a lot of people could love that. But I want to double back, because I skipped over one question, which is a big question. You've also had a part of your career where you went on to write for a lot of artists. You went on to do some songwriting. So tell us some of the artists that you have written songs for as a songwriter, as Ryan the songwriter.
Right. So, yeah. So then there's that. That's like
part of the third career.
Part of right. My third career. Back to my point of constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
I've written for Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish. I've written for David Hollister from Blackstreet. I've written for Will Smith. I've written for Mary J. Blige, Lionel Richie, Justin Bieber, Chris Brown, Usher, Tank, Tyrese, Genuine, A. Marie, Faith Evans. I said Mary J. Blige, right?
Yes, sir.
And,
but you can say her again, because she's incredible.
Yeah, the Queen. Jill Scott, 112, New Edition. Everybody, yeah,
man, that's amazing, man. Congratulations to have so many different, you know what I'm saying, peak moments in your career. So I was watching a bunch of content, and I saw shout out to Tank and Jay Valentine when you talked about your on the R&B Money show, and you talked about this one particular riff that actually started trending that you wrote on Superstar for Usher. Now, I'm sure everybody knows the riff, so I ain't going to bother you getting you to do it right now, unless you just want to, unless you feel like singing, not to be redundant.
I saw you hit it earlier. You got to hit it for him. Go ahead.
And that was not even close to how you and the singers do it. But that's a great riff.
Thank you.
Now I heard that, and I heard you, I'm quoting you, that you demoed the songs and Usher and probably a couple other singers like kind of interpolate the way you sing it. Right. Because you put a lot of your own essence and flavor into your demos.
Yeah.
Do you feel that's like part of like, as a songwriter, that's part of what makes it your magic is like the way you deliver a demo, a reference song?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, and see, there's a sweet science to it because you want to
add enough
of your
flavor and sauce to paint the
picture of the song that you're presenting to an artist.
Yeah.
But you don't want to add so much that the artist can't hear themselves singing it.
Got it.
And that's something that was a fine line that I had to learn. Because I'm a singer first. I'm a singer. So if I'm writing a song and then when I'm referencing it, I'm singing it. I'm singing it because I can sing. Yeah. And I'm singing it the way I want to hear it. You know, I'm giving it the vocal textures and timbres and vibes that I want to hear the song.
Yeah.
How I wrote it. It's like singing how I wrote it, anime. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but I had to learn, and I don't want to say struggle with it. And I like to sing. It's fun. So it's like sometimes I got to like, no, Ryan. Dial it back. You want to make it so that if I present it to Bieber, Chris Brown, John Legend, Adam Levine, anybody, they can hear themselves. Oh yeah, I can sing. I'll kill that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, don't over sing it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I don't really believe in making demos. I make songs.
You make songs. For sure.
I don't make demos.
I think we passed the demo. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that, man. So I also got a chance to listen to a lot of the music that you made during the pandemic. Cause you actually put out a whole series of albums. Let's talk to that for people who haven't heard it yet. Cause I want people to tune in to those albums are great, man. Talk a little bit about that. It's a bonus question, but yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, man. Thank you. So during the pandemic, you know, we were all on lockdown and I'm sitting in the crib thinking that the world was coming to an end. And if the world is coming to an end, you know what I mean? And let me start releasing everything I got just to get it out of me. Cause you know, who knows what's about to happen. Right. We were all on lockdown. They shut down air travel. It was getting kind of bleak.
Yeah, man, it was.
So I put out an album called Songs for the Lockdown. And I just called it Songs for the Lockdown Volume 1. And then
that next week,
I put it out on a Friday. That next week, I was like, because I had more songs and I was cooking up more songs. So I was like, what if I put out another one this Friday, just on some like run it back on, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I put out another one on that following Friday. And then people started DMing me like, I bet you can't do three. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to bet. So then I dropped three and then four. And then, so yeah, I put out an album every week for 10 weeks in a row.
That's amazing.
And just called it Songs for the Lockdown, volumes 1-10. Yeah, it's streaming everywhere. You can check that out. It's on all platforms. So yeah.
That's amazing.
It's like 80 records. I put out like 80 records.
That's
in like
amazing.
2 months.
Wow. Yeah. Now that's work. See, that's the kind of work ethic I tell people that I mentor, and I tell people like you got to be in there doing the work, putting the records together. Even if you mean put a demo, reference it down or whatever it is, get it, you know, get your catalog up, start making records, because there are people who are outworking you right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Less talented.
Thank you. I always say that, bro. I always be like, look, there's people that don't have the singing ability that you might have, but they got that drive. It's something that you can't really teach. It's like something that's innate in some people. They just have that tenacity, that ferocity to just go out and like break down doors and walls to get to their dream. And they might not have the same singing, but that don't matter. It's about who's going to be disciplined and consistent and work hard for it. So you're living proof for that, man. That's beautiful. My brother. All right. So my final question. So what's next for you for this year and going forward? And what's next?
Wow. So right now, well, I'm in Colombia. I'm in Medellin, Colombia right now.
Amazing.
I've been here for like 2 months. I'll probably stay. Well, I'm going to stay till the end of the month, and then I'm going to go to Thailand And I'm going to spend some time in Southeast Asia and just like travel to Bali and Cambodia, Vietnam, Philippines. Right now I'm on my like, I'm just on my like soul searching sabbatical. Once again, reinvention. You got to know how to reinvent. And so I want to hear new sounds. I want to smell new air. I want to taste new foods. I want to hear different music, different languages. I want to be inspired by different culture. So right now I'm just like traveling. I got my microphone. I got my laptop. You know what I mean? So I'm cooking up. I'm always cooking up everywhere I go. But yeah, I'm just kind of like traveling around and just soaking in the world right now.
That's beautiful, brother. Well, much, much more blessings and more power to you with that. And I look forward to getting one on the charts with you too. Yeah. And I got that record.
I think I had two songs on Usher's new album that's coming out February 9th. So check out Usher's new album.
Okay, we're gonna check for that. Usher's new record. Yeah. And that record that you gave me called We Are, that one's coming, bro. It's on my desktop. Like I said.
Oh, you know, I think Marcus Houston is recording that right now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you finalize the production? Because man,
I'm still waiting for you to get.
Okay, okay. I'm not playing. I know you call me Captain America. Y'all laugh so.
Yo, the cap is real with you,
Captain,
Roy.
No, bro. I'm just.
Congrats.
No, it's not like that, bro. You know, I got you. I just want to make sure my plate is clear when I open up your file. I mean, this is a whole nother level.
Okay. Man. Say less. Say less.
There you go.
Less.
Well, my brother, appreciate you, man. God bless. Thank you for joining us on.
Man, that was an amazing interview. Thanks, Ryan, for joining us. We're going to play one of your brand new songs called Your Body featuring Chaz Marcus. Then we got Danny with Down to the River, Sienna Sky with A Little Bit More, and closing the show with Miss Tiara Jade with Do You Know. Take care, good night, and God bless. And let that music out.
Shit we fought about last night. Nah. You know how to hold on a grudge, don't ya? When you want to. And that's one thing I can't stand about ya. Not when all I wanna do is see you find my door. In your birthday suit, all over my condo. Mucho dinero, mucho dinero. I wanna rain on your pretty ass, but you acting like a handful. Say what you want to me. Baby, right now, I'm whatever you calling me. Yeah, whatever you say, shawty, you can put it all on me. Put it all on me. Just don't keep your love from me. The love I need. Oh. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't cut me off like you don't love me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me.
Don't you be trying to keep that ass from me. Like I don't keep 20 cash on me. Like you don't hit me with the money back emoji. Bust down blue face Rolly.
Your boyfriend run up on me like he know me. Chanel belt with the 40 tuck. And fuck your boyfriend with a damn fuck. Now we ain't pulling off in a land truck. Like I don't keep your face down ass up. Bailando. In your birthday suit all over my condo. Mucho dinero. Pretty ass, but you acting like a handful. And you calling me the asshole. Say what you want to me. Baby, right now, I'm whatever you calling me. Yeah, whatever you say, shawty, you can put it all on me. Put it all on me. Just don't keep your love from me. The love I need. Oh, oh.
Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me.
don't cut me off like you don't love me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me.
A little more soul, a little more satisfaction, a little imagine a time when you get what you want, and what you want's what you get, but you know deep inside that you really want. Move real fast, yet take it slow. Hold me in your arms and don't let go. Cascade my body, paradise, a fingertip away. Oh, tantalize me, mesmerize me. Ooh, I need to feel I'm losing all control. Hey, hey, un poquito más. Hey, hey. A little my soul, a little my satisfaction, a little bit more.
It's been said that football is a game of inches. Even the smallest margin can mean the difference between victory and defeat. elation and agony. The next round, or your final game. In 2023, the Gales were on the wrong side of that margin as they lost their home opener in dramatic, heartbreaking fashion to the Laurier Golden Hawks. Now the Gales find themselves in the role of the Road Warriors, traveling to Laurier's home turf, hungry for revenge. Who will prevail in this clash of Vanier Cup contenders? On Saturday, tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM or CFRC.ca to catch all the pulse-pounding action. The CFRC pregame show will begin at 12:45 p.m. with a 1 p.m. scheduled kickoff time. We hope you'll join us for this classic clash between two powerhouse programs.
For 50 years, the Banree Foundation has supported the continuing education of women at Queen's. Join Banree for its 50th anniversary gala on October 24th at 7 p.m. at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts. This event marks half a century of empowering women through education. Tickets are free, but registration is required. To reserve your spot, visit the Banree Center's website, follow Banree Center on Facebook and Instagram, or email brc@queensu.ca.
CFRC 101.9 FM.